brand new edition of the Fans of Power podcast. I'm the Johnny Cage of the He-Man fan community, Tyler Baker. And part-time co-host, a regular host, whatever you want to call me. And, of course, on this podcast, as always, is the Brad Dourif of the He-Man fan community, Mr. Nasty Nate Kennedy. We'll see some of his finest work. Watch him get slapped around in the movie Mississippi Burning, or in Fatal Beauty, where he plays a coke dealer being chased by Whoopi Goldberg and Sam Elliott. Badass shit. And, of course, last but not least, of course, is our token black guy, the Fresh Prince of the landfill from a different world, Joe Amato.
You're going to let me go with that Fresh Prince stuff, huh?
I prefer a different world because Fresh Prince sucks, but, you know, I figure that sounds pretty fitting for you, right, Joe?
I guess so. Yeah, and Tyler's not able to see.
I want to ask you this real quick. Is it true that you were cast to play the next Huxtable kid on the Cosby Show before Raven Simone had to come in to replace you because of your Jell-O Pop hangovers?
I would have been adorable, I think, on the show. I was an adorable
Bill Cosby
kid.
Thought you were very believable as one of the Huxtable kids.
I could have been. I was just very wholesome and nice and sweet and cute. I mean, everything's changed as I got older, but yeah, it's like, yeah, that just wouldn't have worked. But son of a gun, but
Joe
all
Huxtable.
Right, well, Tyler. Joe Huxtable. Mm. All right, well, before we get started, because I'll have to read some other things here. Eventually, when we get into one of the...
I love it.
When we get to one of the topics, it'll be fun, but I'll just say hello to everybody that I've seen commented so far before we get started. And, of course, we get your questions after we do our topics.
James, there better be some good questions tonight, damn it.
Yeah, because if Tyler has a, hey, what's your favorite figure, you know, Tyler...
Yeah, I swear to God, I do not want to be asked, you know, what's your favorite hover robot over here or something like that? I need something that's brain tingling here, people. I am issuing a challenge to anybody who's listening to this live. Have some good questions to answer.
Well, we're going to see.
Make sure you prep all of your hate mail to Joe Amato on Facebook Messenger.
Yes, you get reason, like a complimentary half-eaten package of Top Ramen and a complimentary Tyler's an Asshole t-shirt. So.
Well, I don't know if I could give away any food. I treasure my food. I need every bit of that. But maybe just give it away.
Anything half-eaten, garbage, whatever, just, you know.
I might. But let's see. We got JSP, Michael Purvis, Zentron, DJ Tags, Zen Brown, Papa Huds, Dingalorian. I already said Zen Brown. See, my senility has already kicked in. Michael Purvis. I sent him already. Ackerman.
I told you how to look up everyone in the chat all at once so you don't have to scroll and shit. And yet, here we are. Rolling in at about 15 after 9. Hey, guys, I'm ready to go.
Lacey Dean, Rick Poe, and there. I think I got everybody that was there. So there, I did it. So thank you for joining us. Well, anyways, there was zero, I think, topical stuff as for Masters of the Universe this week, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, hey,
do you remember hearing anything?
We can talk about how they just showed the same stuff that we already knew about at Toy Fair. Wasn't that exciting?
Oh, my God.
That's why we didn't do a bonus one, in case you guys were wondering. We said, hey, we do a bonus episode if they had some new figures, but they just showed the figures we've seen, but maybe with packaging or different poses, which they look cool, but I was like, I'm not going to do an episode just for that.
But even, like, the packaging art looked good. But still, I'm like, this is it? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just very disheartening to know there's just not a whole lot of effort or excitement or attachments or hints or anything to keep momentum or enthusiasm or excitement or any kind of positive promotion. You know,
I missed the Easter eggs. Remember
the last day of Toy Fair.
Yeah, and you remember that, Tyler, when we used to get that little Easter egg hiding where there'd be like a little weapon or a little something showing, hey, this could be coming. It would have been nice because, yeah, there was nothing else but what we knew. And I figured being in Toy Fair, there would have been some really good hype and showing some more stuff. But, like, I mean, what are we going to have to wait to now? San Diego Comic Con? I mean, that's basically the next main thing.
This is not being ugly or condescending. I wouldn't expect anything in San Diego. I'd expect Mattel to show up with the same shit. Again, with a big display, with some big statue to kind of draw attention to come in and see the same damn thing you've seen a year ago and multiple times since then, and maybe a fully articulated merman. You know, nothing that's going to make you feel like, oh my God, like we're getting Icer or we're getting Chakotay in this line. Yeah. This is a man. No, it's just going to be, you know.
You think that they would have at least maybe had confirmed, like, that rumored list of, like, well, here's what the next wave's going to be, and this is what the plant, like, and
yes.
If there would have at least been something like that, then I would have probably been, all right, well, at least there's something, but none of that. It's just, here's the figures that you already knew were coming. Between, like, all the other companies, Mattel really dropped the ball here, because everyone else just stood up, like NECA especially blew it out of the water.
Oh,
like,
man.
Just all the things that were revealed, and then Mattel just comes in. It's like, oh, hey, here's the stuff you already know. And they didn't even, like, have that there, like, on the important days, those first couple days, like Monday rolls around. It's like, well, here you go. Exciting. It's like, yeah, wasn't nothing.
Yeah, you just can't really expect the He-Man fan base to get only but somewhat excited for something like that. It was... You know, when I saw it too, I just check out of curiosity. I'm like, oh, the package art looks pretty nice. But it sucks. It really sucks to not walk away from seeing this stuff and not be in a mode where you're counting down the days or you're fantasizing what about what it's going to be like to see those in hand or super excited. I mean, it's like going to get groceries. You're going to do it because you need to do it, but that's really about it. You're just kind of doing it as out of necessity almost. And I hate feeling like that, but I just wish it would be, you know, like the G.I. Joe 25th anniversary line. We're essentially getting the same figures, but they're re-sculpted, retooled a bit, and you feel like you're getting the same look, but kind of is what Classics was. But I would have been fine in that same scale. But make us feel like we're just getting a little bit more bang for our buck. I mean, this is not a line marketed towards your kids, because I'm sorry, you're not going to be buying $20 figures for your kids or $15 figures or whatever. But it's disappointing. I mean, I think you guys already know that too. It's just when you see NECA and even Hasbro, which I know some of Hasbro stuff's coming to scrutiny a little bit too, because it's kind of the same. Some of the same stuff over and over again.
Yeah.
But, you know, at least it's... I don't know. it was just very lackluster to know that Mattel really just didn't put much effort into it. Enough of that happy horse.
Yeah, I do want to acknowledge one thing in the chat. Zentron said Nathan is the only one not wearing Masters clothing. I was actually going to wear a shirt because I made a couple shirts, but it's like cold in here, so I'm going to throw on my disappointing San Jose Sharks sweatshirt because they're not doing worth a damn. But Tyler and Joe are wearing Master shirts from Joe's store, so link is down below. Make sure you click that. You can is the one that Tyler's wearing, is that still up on your store, Joe? No, you took it down.
Just this shirt is up right here. That's the one I got. That's it. That's my demonic duo. So like I said, this one, it's an homage to Batman and Robin, the intro, so I did Skeletor Horde. I actually drew it all, too. I'm good at, like, eyeballing stuff and then drawing it again or in my way. So this is all my line art, everything. It's different. So, yeah, this one's still up. Demonic Duo is there. But, well, we're gonna start off with a comic that's going to be interesting.
You don't want to explain what I'm wearing, Joe?
No.
Just completely, like, just dismiss, man. Let's just keep on going here.
No, Tyler's got a very cool Errol McCarthy shirt, but I did not do that, Nathan. That I don't know where he got that. That's a different shirt.
Oh, yeah,
I have
right.
No
We're
clue
not supposed
on
to
that.
Talk about it. Keep an eye on Joe's
I have no
store
clue.
If you hit the appropriate window. You too can own what Tyler sometimes wears on his shirt.
I don't know what I know. I don't know where Tyler got that. But we're going to talk about a mini comic
either.
That's which
I don't know what I'm talking about anymore. Forget everything I said. No cease and desist letters here.
But yeah, I am probably wearing the kind of stuff that should be sold on, you know, T-shirt websites on the internet or wherever. Something that's got classic kick-ass artwork of Fisto kicking Jitsu's ass, which I don't want to the other way around.
Maybe
too,
I'll put the image up later. I'll do it when we're doing questions. But there's one on 80s tees that has He-Man there that says, "Someone better call the vet because these puppies are sick."
Oh no, not that stuff!
Shit, T-shirts, that, and the parties that way, and all these other stupid shit. Oh God, that used to be a site that was pretty reliable. Now they just take every lame attempt to just dehumanize Master of the Universe on t-shirts, all these dumbass things. They're not the only ones guilty.
And they
of
charge
that.
You out the ass for them now, yeah. too. They used to have reasonable prices. Now it's like $40 per shirt. And that's not even including shipping.
$40 for a piece of shit. Really bad filmation artwork came in of him pointing his arm like this. You know? God. I hate seeing stuff like that. It just makes me so mad. That's why I had to resort to TeePublic or Redbubble to get quality artwork, but you got to sit through all the dog shit artwork of people trying to make He-Man look like an idiot or various other forms of moronic behavior or something like that. You can find some really cool, badass. Nathan's found some, too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I encourage people. If you want some kick-ass artwork, talk to JoJo, go to TeePublic, go to Redbubble. You know, and 80s, I would say 80s tees if they got their act together, stop putting, you know, making all these shit show t-shirts. But
well, speaking of shit shows, Joe, let's talk about this comic.
First, I want to say, now, Penny Judrow, I mean, she did something great here. I'm just going to read what she posted when she first did this. This is a translated comic for Distant Invasion. Now, this is what she posted up when she did do it on January 31st. She said, presenting the long-awaited English language translation of a very rare official Masters of the Universe Estrella mini-comic from Brazil, Distant Invasion, starring Zodak. When Mattel licensed Masters of the Universe to Estrella in the 80s, the company published several of its own mini-comics in Portuguese. Some of them were just redos of the U.S. mini-comics, but several of them were all new original stories. She said, massive thanks to the wonderful Marcelo Barbosa for acquiring these scans for her. Mega thanks to Yuka Isakainen. I probably screwed up your last name, Yuka, sorry. A longtime member of the Cosmic Enforcer himself for placing the text in the word bubbles and for cleaning up all the mini comic pages. And then it said the Portuguese to English translations were done by her. And she says, sadly, I don't know who originally wrote or illustrated the story. First, I want to say it is great effort that all you guys, you know, did this and translated it. But I wouldn't feel sad, Danielle, because this is one doozy of a mini comic. I was like, God, I'm hearing Zodak. I'm like, yes, we're finally getting a Zodak mini comic. And then I was like, wow, I can honestly say that if this was released in the U.S., this might be worse than the Leech mini comic. I'd rather read that than this. This was interesting. I mean,
there was a fight going on in the Leech mini comic, even though the art was just dog shit. But
this was so slow. I mean, again, I'm not discrediting what you guys did. It's awesome. You translated. Thank you for that effort. And you guys did a lot more. And I even know Grimbot did some stuff with you, which looking forward to that. But it was sad to see. It's like, this was all this was about. So I guess I'll pass it to Nathan and you can start like popping the images up on for everybody to read and watch. But maybe you guys enjoyed it more than us, and if you did, that's great. But man, when I heard Zodak and I seen the cover, I mean, I immediately, you know, I got super excited, and then I read it and I wasn't super excited anymore.
Yeah, well, I mean, I want to echo what Joe has already said, that it's awesome that they did this. It's cool to see it translated.
Oh, hell yeah.
There's just not a whole hell of a lot really going on. There's just not much to it. It's very basic. It's very simple. There's nothing that, like, got me excited and, in Tyler's words, pumped while I was reading it. It's just, like, nothing at all. It's almost like, what is there to say other than it's cool that Zodak is in a mini comic?
It started off, I mean, interesting. It's like, as you see here, a lot of action and ships, and you're wondering, well, what is going on? What's happening? Skeletor's taking some vanishing potion to get away. And I mean, you guys are reading it just here. We don't need to read it bit by bit, you know, panel by panel, but we can keep
the next one. I'm not staying on here to do that.
But like I said, we always cover everything. And for people that think, hey, you guys only love stuff from the past and hate the present stuff, well, it shows, no, we don't like everything from the past. I mean, again, great effort. But it's like, wow, man, it's just a lot of talking, as you'll see later. And you're going to see also later, there was no He-Man. You didn't get to see the Apollo.
God, you beat me to it. Like, a mini comic of He-Man, and He-Man's not even in it.
Right, it's just, He wasn't there, and
nowhere, and at first, not even during that brief battle sequence. Like, I guess he's just, I don't know, taking a shit somewhere. I don't know.
It's like, what was he like? He was referenced, and okay, well, yeah, you see here, there's this little, like, you know, kind of like a little note being sent with a little missile from King Brandor, basically saying, Skeletor, we got to join forces for some kind of crazy threat. Skeletor ain't really wanting to be behind this, but when Snake Mountain's getting, you know, basically destroyed by these ships, he's like, okay, well, I guess I will try to make an alliance with King Brandor and them. But yeah, that one there, it's self-explanatory too. There's not going to be much Tyler will probably be saying during this because he's not looking at this in front of him as we are, but
it's burned into my brain. I know exactly what you're talking about. When you need me to chime in, I'll say something, but
I do think it's an interesting concept that, like, Snake Mountain's getting attacked, and they do decide to sit down and communicate and figure out what outside source is attacking them. That's kind of interesting to a degree.
Yeah, because it starts off great. You're right. Like, Nathan, I'll agree. It starts off interesting. Like, okay, what is going on? But once it gets past this and when they get Zodak, because, like, first, when Zodak was, you know, showing up, I was like, okay, now it's really it's going to get turned up. Something crazy is going to happen. Then you see what after Zodak does, it's nothing but just talking, boring. It's like, you started off hot, and they just went right down the toilet afterwards. I don't know what happened when the people were writing this. Like, what? Why did they go in this such a strange direction of just nothing? Because now what you're seeing here is just talking. Yeah. Isn't that what you get?
It does. It did bring up a lot of questions for me that I had for both of you, because when I actually looked up the Zodak character, his allegiances, depending on what you've read and what you've consumed, he's either neutral or he's kind of like a little bit on the heroic side. And then oftentimes, too, they've put him over on the other side of the fence and being a villain. So what was the general perception of Zodak for you guys? Did you kind of go back and forth, think that he was as neutral as everything? Or is this mostly like a good combination of the bios and everything that's come out recently, too? Like, how do you guys perceive Zodak?
Well, I'm kind of seeing him as always being, I mean, for me, yes, I know he's the keeper of balance. If things really get out of hand, that's when he steps in. That's when it's necessary for him to show up. But I still always looked at him as more leaning towards the side of good, probably just because, yes, he would intervene to make sure that nothing bad would happen. But I'm not saying he was the hero or he was the villain, but for me, he still seemed more heroic in my mind. But I know he was, when he showed up like he would in Filmation, it's like, my God, it felt like something greater than Eternia has shown up. You know, even beyond all the heroic warriors, like, my God, this character has come. The all-powerful Zodak. He's like a god. So I just seen him as, you know, a good guy, but yeah, it's just he was only needed if things really were dire. But, yeah, Tyler.
Pretty much in the same vein. I mean, I was kind of confused by the character a lot as a kid because I didn't see him as much. And when he did show up, it was kind of, I didn't quite understand it because, you know, it was real little at the time. But I definitely, you know, I still feel like, you know, we have never gotten a truly, like, definitive, like, Zodak story. And when I don't mean an origin story, but a story where his presence is really felt and it means something. Based on this, like, I'm fine with 2000X's interpretation, but that's not Zodak to me. That's a variation, or even it's like maybe an apprentice or someone who's like an attorney and agent for the actual Zodak, if you want to kind of combine the two mythos or something like that. But to me, and even if you want to make Zodak in the this canon, you know, black, I'd be cool with that too. But Zodak needs to be someone who is riding in his chariot across the spaceways of all over time and space, monitoring the balance between good and evil, shows up with typically when evil has got the upper hand, you know, to ensure that, you know, it doesn't overtake, you know, good. But what you could kind of say is more or less he sides with good, because he only shows up when Skeletor's gone a little too far with his plan, or is actually following through with it. Not that he would guarantee, like, okay, He-Man, here's a special weapon. You've lost your power sword. I'm going to give you my gun to, you know, take out Skeletor's evil warriors because they're all in Castle Grayskull or something like that. But pretty much a neutral character, all in all. And it'd be kind of interesting to play that off a little bit. Like, he's the balance of good and evil. Okay, at what point would good become imbalanced towards evil? You guys ever think about that? Like, we no, see, but that's a good point. Characters that are clearly trying to balance good and evil, but it's always stopping evil. At what point would good need to be kept in check?
No, it's an interesting point. You'd think, what could it be? Because you figure, I mean, the goal of anything in life is just ever to be, you know, in harmony and getting along. But what does that do? Like, let's say everything was perfectly imbalanced. Do we then lose our edge of, like, making sure we know when to protect from certain things or have things done and no progress in our minds to have things evolving because we figure everything is serene and perfect? You're right. I never thought about, like, what is the actual over-the-top good moment to where he's like, okay, now stuff's getting too good. Let's draw back a little. It's a fun point.
To play off what you're saying, like, would it be that if, you know, the heroic warriors or the royal palace, like King Randor, or even the sorcerers, kind of decides they've had enough of how things have gone and decide to resort to more drastic, maybe evil kind of manners, almost. Like, they decide we're not going to keep Skeletor alive, or we capture Beastman for the upfront time. We're not going to throw him in jail again.
Let's finally kill him or something.
And I'm being serious. Like, would that be something that Zodak would decide to intervene? Like, look.
Well, sure. I think he would. He would intervene because, like you said, they're good. But then they actually would be, in a way, it's doing evil. But you're right. It's an extreme. It's like, okay, we can't keep jailing them. Can't keep doing this. How about we kill them? So I guess that's a point where good has went beyond being good. And it's too extreme to where now it is like being evil. So I guess, yes, he'd probably intervene because he'd be like, you can't kill him. There's got to be the good and evil to keep a balance, you know, as long as you're not going to lead to the self-destruction of your planet and your people. So,
look at this.
I was going to say, I was like, hey, DC, take notes. Right, let's
we wrote a story. Me and Tyler like that.
Let's have a comic about that. That would be like an interesting way to go about it. And Febmon said that means Nathan is the Zodak of the podcast. And yeah, it could be.
Hey, there you are. Keep the belt.
That's why Nathan should have wore his Zodak shirt tonight, because he did. He made a Zodak shirt, and damn it, you missed the boat.
Yeah, he did. Damn, where were you on that one? But I know that, Tyler, we've done that a lot, where we'd start talking and we make a story just right on the fly out of nowhere. I don't know how many times we've done that. It makes you think, if we sat there and put our heads together and we were serious about writing something, what's the stuff we could deliver?
And it's nauseating, because as many times as we come up on this, there's nobody in a seat of power that is listening and says, you know what? Not that you have to pay us or put us on payroll or something like that, but, you know, we're not just spitballing, you know, a bunch of, like, really bad fan fiction here that you'd find it, you know, on a random website in, you know, 1999 or something like that. Like, I really feel like these are genuinely good ideas that we have put together on the fly that, like, you know what? This is what comic book series should be exploring, or ideas and thoughts that you could be delved into a lot more deeper, not multiverse bullshit. God, you know,
right?
It's unoriginal, it's uninspiring, and there's so many great stories and characters that they could be devoting writers and artists to putting together. No, I've got this original concept. No one's ever done this before. And I, you guys dealt with that crap last week when these two listened to it. But Nathan has been so gracious to kind of let me in on some of the stuff that's going on. And I was ready to pull a Keanu Reeves and say, free will, right? And just blow my brains up right there in front of him. You know? And you guys are free will, you know, you in reading this book and everybody else that's reading it too. I'm like, I'm surprised there isn't an epidemic of, you know.
Well, hey, man, I think that it's important on here, especially if I can be around and can digest, like, the crappy stuff that you don't want to stick around for. I think it's good that the people can see the bad stuff too. Because, like, there's a lot of great, but there's also bad stuff. And sometimes people just want to either not talk about it or kind of set it aside and pretend that it doesn't exist, which is fine. But I think it's kind of good to shine a little light on it and talk about it.
So that means we have to do a Star Child commentary on the next commentary.
Yeah, sure.
Dear God, that would be interesting.
I'm in.
But we didn't think of it. We cover it all. I mean, everything from, like you said, this interesting comic to the other stuff, but it's also giving
I like how Joe says
opinion.
Interesting comic. He doesn't want to say that it's outright bad or anything. He just said it's interesting.
Yeah, Joe, are you getting a secret paycheck from DC or somebody who knows someone at DC for you to encourage you?
Oh, no, that one's bad.
No,
the DC one is bad. That's horrendous. No, I mean, this is interesting. And as you'll see from the rest of the story, which Nathan can almost probably start going quicker with when we do it, is it's basically a story of this planet has polluted it, screwed up its resources, and now it's destroying their water, and there's not even no nature. It's like we've heard this story a million times, and whether it's a comic or a movie or a cartoon, we've seen this plot done so much.
It sounds like a really bad Twilight Zone episode, because it reminds me of the one where, you know, you see the giant mute lady, and she's being invaded by these two little spacemen, and it turns out they're astronauts from Earth. You know, it's just, and it was a terrible episode. God, it was awful. But it made me think of that episode. And look, just so the people who worked on this, this is not the worst mini comic of all time. It's far from it. But for something that I was kind of under the impression, this was like, oh wow, this is kind of like, we're going to get something we thought never existed. And it's just this devotion to a small group that decides, let's attack another planet that's bigger than us and steal their resources. And then
as you see, they're super small. You do see they're very small.
They're super small, and you kind of feel like...
But they make giant ships to attack, so I get confused.
Look, there's a lot of things we accept in this mythology, and we don't really question a lot of it. So aside from the fact that they are attacked by these mysterious, very small spaceships, and it was so much to shake up Snake Mountain that they form an alliance with the heroic warriors, but to find out that the reasons behind it, and what really kind of like perturbed me a little bit, is that I hope it was a goof, but when Skeletor suggests, let's give him poison water, Man-at-Arms says, that's a good idea.
Oh, that's actually...
just as a ploy to convince Skeletor that they were going to do that, what purpose did that serve in the story to convince the person who wants to kill everybody, sure, we're going to kill them because you suggested it. And it made no sense.
I think it was just his way of sending them in a different direction. Oh, all right, well, they've agreed to it, I'll be on my way. That's kind of what I got from it, was just...
It just made everybody look out of character. It just made Skeletor look like a buffoon. And for Man-at-Arms to even humor the guy, like to say, sure, that's a great idea, we'll poison their water supply. It just...
And for Skeletor to believe it, like, it was so unlike Man-at-Arms, you know? Like, does he really think when Man-at-Arms said, yeah, that sounds like a great idea, and Skeletor was like, all right, well, Cobra Khan's an expert, you know, like, how to poison the water, but it's like, don't you think Skeletor would be like, wait, did you disagree with me and Man-at-Arms? Like, he would have known something was up. It was just too, yep, he agrees, all right, that's never happened.
I get it's a mini comic. They don't have but so many panels and pages to make a condensed story, but I mean, look, we have spent so many times on this podcast emphasizing the best of the best, and not just the mini comics, but stories of this mythology that came in mini comic form. So there should be no excuse, and I don't care what country it's from, that you could not tell, you know, a story that captures the essence of these characters. For what, even if you are trying to tell a story of an alien race that's threatening to invade Eternia for their resources, Skeletor should stay as intelligent and smart and try to use this situation to advance his schemes. You know, while He-Man, the heroic warriors, and He-Man should be in this front and center, or at least working with Zodak. You know, I don't know. It just kind of feels like there was a lot of misuse, and it was just like Zodak's presence to this was, you know, hit swinging a miss. Because
Teleport quick, because obviously they can't travel with their type of magic or their types of machinery, but Zodak can do it. And yeah, it's like, it was a sad thing to see for Zodak.
You just said that. It makes Eternian technology
look like shit.
Nothing, but this little race can invade another planet and attack it, and so much that they can come right. I don't know. It just
And they get a couple buckets of water, basically. It's like, hey, we got a couple buckets of water. That's good enough to fix your entire planet now. It's like, okay, I know they were small, but you guys weren't that small. It's not like they were size of a flea or a tick. You know, they're like action figure size, but I mean, interesting to
tell. Well, and then meanwhile, like, once they get all the resources, it's kind of. I don't know whose planet was to pull the joke on Skeletor to make him seem like the good guy that did all of this, but it pissed him off at the end. The greatest
thing up and down, like, we got you, Skeletor. You know,
yeah.
Well, the thing is, they actually
put it on the ground.
Yeah, they gave him a real menu. I mean, medallion. They gave him a medallion because they really thought, hey, Skeletor might have been the hero. So Zodiac was probably like, all right, Skeletor's the one that saved you. So they sincerely wrote out this little thing on a medallion. Skeletor read it and then just runs off. And that's how it ended. So there's that mini comic. But Daniel, again, for everybody that was involved, he did a great job. It was nice. But wow, what an interesting comic.
Yeah, just, yeah, not a whole, yeah, not a whole lot of nothing much. It's just kind of there.
So we can go from that.
I'm kind of curious.
Yeah, we could go.
I'm kind of curious about maybe some of the other ones that are out there. I know that you said that some of them are just sort of just Brazilian versions of comics
well,
you already have.
More. They've already done some. Yeah, they've done some, and I think they said that they're doing even more. So we appreciate it. And I'm sure that there's stories that would probably have more action than this. It was just the writers, this is their take. Maybe it was something they were going through. You never know at their time. Maybe there was something polluted in around their area, and that's all they knew. I don't know, but it's just
I mean, they're really narrow minded. If that's all they can come up with, like all the television shows and movies are based around polluted water scenarios.
Yeah, it's a good old Captain Planet episode put into this Masters of the Universe mini comic. So we'll move on past this. We'll go to at least a good episode of the Mike Young Productions Masters of the Universe, which once we get this all set, that's when we pass it to Tyler and he'll tell all you guys what to do. And Nathan, of course, you got the link in the description.
Link
correct?
Is down below. Go ahead and get that loaded up. And I'll probably say this multiple times as we go through this. I feel like I need to just go back and watch NYP, like actually take it all in and absorb it all, because there is a little more continuity to this show than there was with Filmation. So I'll probably have some questions as we go along. I'm sure some people in the chat will answer them maybe before you guys do, and we'll see how it goes. But Tyler, go ahead and give us that countdown.
All right. 3, 2, 1, action.
How did you guys feel about this intro?
It took you for a quick little turn when, bam, when he gets interrupted. It was different because I was expecting to hear the whole thing. I don't believe I was able to hear the whole thing until I got the VHS tape of one of the episodes. Correct, Tyler? And that's when you got to hear the whole intro?
Yeah. I think it was either The World of He-Man or The Courage of Atom on VHS that came with the toys. But I enjoyed it. But I remember at the time when this came out, people were throwing fits and, the mock and Filmation. I'm like, God, you guys, just shut the hell up.
I liked it. It was a different take. And
I liked it too.
Yeah.
I think with this, by the time we got around to season 2, I think I had already started to move on. I know Tyler was going to stick around for it, but when it came to season 2 and then when the Snake Men line came out into stores, I kind of just bypassed all of that.
Well, hell, we didn't even get him in stores over here.
Oh, yeah. That's
just
right.
Aldi's. In my crazy Aldi store, that's the only place that had it was Aldi's, and I was lucky enough to get them at least.
Yeah, I had to order them from, I think, over in England, I think, is the only way. They were really hard to find, and when I got them, it was really trying hard to convince myself that they were good. Except Fista. Fista was the only one that I was, like, genuinely happy to get. Just, I'm so glad I wasn't Men on Card Collector, because seeing Battle Fist on his package was, oh, God.
Well, at least we get to see Evil-Lyn showcasing her powers. You see where she's running. But I didn't have a problem with, like I said, I know that some people didn't like her voice. It might not have been the best in the world, but I enjoyed her voice and her portrayal.
I wasn't aware that anybody else other than myself that didn't like her voice, only because she tries so hard to be so eloquent and sinister at the same time. Like, you know, take it back a notch there, you know. That was my only gripe with her. You know, she wasn't as Clawful or even, you know, Beastman's sounded too much like Ram Man, at least for the majority of the show, whereas in the first episode it sounds very menacing.
Yep. And showing her again here for a second, trying to use her powers to at least brace for that blast. So showing that, you know, she didn't have to have her staff with her at all times, but she got her helmet knocked off. And by the way, with Too Bad, anytime I seen Too Bad, I got excited. I wish that we could have got more
Vimp. Yeah. Me too. I was so glad. Like, and this was like our first time seeing white hair on Evelyn in the show too. So that was a big moment, I know, for a lot of fans. But yeah, that was one thing I loved about the Evil Warriors is they did a good job of mixing up, like, see Too Bad walking in a frame with Beastman, Triclops, Merman, and Trapjaw, because we just didn't get that information. And you didn't get that in the mini comics or a whole lot of other forms of media, too. So it was just always good to see that, or even Stinkor hanging around with the group, too. So it was always important to me to have a variety of Evil Warriors in each episode, that it's not the same two, three, over and over and over again, as we've said before.
And I wished, you know, it would, as the episodes and the seasons, if we could have got more, I would have loved to have seen more of the Faceless one, because he's a great new character, you know. And especially find out that's Evil Lynn's dad. He can't do nothing outside of this place, almost like an homage to how the Sorceress can't do something, but he's sending his life essence into a, you know, a form of light to send a message to somebody to help. But I would have loved to see more of the Faceless one.
Yeah, that was definitely by far the best original creation in this show, in terms of like a brand new character in addition to the mythology. Like, it's all Larry DiTellio, but yes, that's something that, and we haven't really discussed much of on this podcast at all. And I did like the Envy Creations comic that featured the Faceless One prominently about his past and associated with Keldor, Hero, Eldor, and the Elders of Eternia during like the creation of or during like the Three Towers as well.
We'll have to do that in an upcoming episode. We'll have to discuss that issue.
Yeah, that was a really good book. I mean, even my brother at the time, which he was never been a fan of He-Man, but he always liked this one. He really liked the Faceless one a lot, because that was something when he shows up in the episode Lessons, I think in season one. That was like our favorite part of that episode. Look, we went back and we watched the two scenes he had in that episode like multiple times after it aired, because we were just so taken aback by the character. Such a great character, and
And you bringing him up, it makes me, no, it's a shame. You're right. We couldn't have got more and expanded, because the thing is, when you brought up the comic, I can honestly say I have not enjoyed, you know, the Masters of the Universe comics since the MVC, you know, days when they had those comics. Those I look forward, you know, each month to getting and reading and seeing something different, and, you know, and really enjoyed them. But these new comics, it's a shame, you know. It's kind of makes you wish they could get back onto doing some comics themselves.
Well, and it's just a testament to show that, you know, people at DC, you know, I'm sure most of the people who are writing and drawing, it's a job for them, nothing more. They may say they like He-Man, but they're not fans of He-Man. I don't care what they say, because if they were, they wouldn't be writing such horrible books for people.
Yeah, they're not fun at all. And speaking of not fun at all, I know I'm the party pooper hero, but here comes my least favorite transformation with the whole clink with the arm. God, I just can't stand this. I can't help it. I cannot stand this transformation. Oh, and I hate that damn outfit. But
I relate to this so much when I'm getting ready to go to the gym.
Well, this was going to be my next question with the continuity of the show. How did he obtain the snake armor?
It was pretty much just given to him in the Rise of the Snake Man episode. Like, the sorcerer says, you're going to need some new... It's kind of just glossed over. It's not really emphasized. Like, he does the transformation, and he looks at it like, okay, here we go. And that's really about it. It's not going to Grayskull and like, look, King Hiss, it's been foretold he's going to come back. You're going to need some stronger weapons. You know, I bequeath this arm. It's just there.
Say, it's kind of cool to see Squeeze actually, like, you seeing what he's capable of.
My favorite Snake Man.
And apologies to everyone listening and in the chat. I do need to go back and actually watch this entire run and just kind of process it all.
Well, nothing to apologize for. Enjoy it. We can all sit back and watch it again. For those who haven't seen it, they can watch it again themselves. But that Wind Raider, I just want to say, too bad we never got that in toy form, because we got all the crappy Bashing Beetle and all that other Battle garbage.
And I bought all of that garbage. It's still in the box, as you guys probably saw.
I bought two of each. One to take out of the box and one to keep in the box.
I remember that. I remember when Tyler would do that. He was like, I have to have one to take out and one to leave in the box. And I was just sitting there like, oh, man, you're spending so much money on this. And now it's all just packed away, not even displayed at all.
Yeah. I couldn't even buy them all. That was the thing. I bought every figure, but I hated them so much, I didn't even get most of the vehicles. I just, when the Bastion Beetle came out, it was a super cheap price at a Value City. And the Dragon Walker I ordered off of eBay because it came with the tattoo variant He-Man. But otherwise, I didn't care about the other stuff. It was, John, it was just that bad. And of course, I mean, I got the little beast. You know, I mean, I got, you know, Battle Cat and Panther, but, horrible. No, yeah, let's get back to the cartoon. At least this is good. And I like when you find out when a little bit of an origin thing here, because there was that moment that comes that Tyler already knows what I'm talking about. When we see a certain thing later, not Rachel, but when it happens, that was a moment when everybody was losing it, when everybody got super excited watching, especially if you're somebody that I honestly couldn't remember. Did they do spoilers before the episodes came out, like on He-Man.org?
No, for the most part, unless, you know, the synopsis that were released were pretty minimum. And occasionally they would, like, put a character in there, like, Zodak has to help He-Man fight the Snake Man. Like, it beat that. You didn't know who was in the Snake Man, but it said Zodak was in it. So,
oh, okay.
It was bare minimum. Like, this one didn't have any spoilers in it. No mention of Hordak.
Didn't? Okay, then everybody had that impact of, like I did when I seen it. Man, I just lost it. And just a little side note. I know that with the Kevin Smith cartoon, it's, you know, following in the footsteps of Filmation, but I pray one day that they bring back and follow in the MYP footsteps and give us more. We wanted that season 3 and 4. What the hell could have happened? Damn, it's such a shame because it was such an amazing cartoon, but for other reasons and stuff, you know, just, well, you know how it got canceled.
Someone with branches has put me in charge. I'd give it making an amalgam of all the great things of Filmation and bringing all the elements of this. From the movie, New Adventures, I combine it all to where everybody would have nothing but positive things to say about it. Like, bringing all the great things, because it can be done. It can be done right. It's not Mission Impossible. Sure. There's so much potential with this. And
I like seeing the young evil in here just taking care of business.
I do, too.
You know?
I do, too.
Yeah.
I like seeing Triclops punching concrete with his bare hands.
That's strong. It's something you usually didn't see. It's like, you know, that's He-Man's thing to do, is like punching bricks. And I like the design of Keldor, as you've seen. It is slightly different. When we got it in action figure form with that special exclusive Keldor back then, that one just looked like it was, I think, Skeletor's figure with a cape and just a new head. But I don't think it had all these different, like, how he doesn't have crossbones there. I don't think that was, like, the figure. Yeah, so I wish we would have got something closer to this, but at least you got to see a little bit of how Evil-Lyn and Keldor / Skeletor, you know, came to be and meet for the first time.
Yeah, that they kind of have when I did my first podcast with Joe, the discussion was Skeletor and Evil-Lyn's abusive relationship that they have, where they're constantly threatening or trying to kill each other, and then they walk away happy as ever. And but it's what makes them an interesting couple. But I will say, like, you know, to always think that she's always going to, like, turn on him and do this or that, that could be a bit monotonous. You need to save that for only special occasions, you know, because granted, you know, in this whole debacle here, you know, it started because she realized that Skeletor pretty much sold them out and set them up as bait for his grand scheme of Council of Evil. So she really did have good reason to turn on Skeletor and unleash the Snake Man. But then to try and unleash Hordak at the end of this episode for the sake of just unleashing Hordak, you know, it's become like a joke with the character and the bios and all this other stuff. And people take it as like source, like, oh God, don't believe that. It's just bad fan fiction. But I like the character going off on her own and doing her own thing, like we'd see in Filmation at times. But, you know, I don't want people to think that she's constantly betraying Skeletor all the time, because, you know, that's just not what she does.
Yeah, just like you said, if the opportunity arises and if it's something that can further benefit, you know, her, because, you know, she wants to have power as well.
Yeah,
she
and like that's why it's always interesting to see the Evil Wars go off on their own, like Webster and Cobra Khan go off on their own, or Triclops goes and does his own thing. I'm fine with that, but, you know, and of course we would see it in Teela's Secret also, where Evil-Lyn gets jealous, turns on Skeletor, joins up with Hordak, but then he turns on her, you know, so.
And you know, another thing, and a testament to, I always say, with He-Man and being a hero that's so strong as he is, how he can move, like you said, planets, things that are just a million times heavier, you know, heavier than him. It's got to be hard to learn to control your strength. Like that fight with Beast Man, you know what I mean? He's hitting him, but obviously if he hit him as hard as he could kill him. So it's a testament of, again, just showing how you can learn to control back with your power of being He-Man.
Well, it, and I've said this before, you see it in this episode a lot too, everyone that gets hit by something, they're thrown so far, whether you're being punched or some sort of, you know, magical blast.
Hell, even He-Man, yeah, even He-Man getting blasted.
Yeah, it's a bit much. That's just one of those things where I felt like NYP would lose control and just have people flying all over the place.
Well, do you think that...
You know, like they're in a big bouncy
room. Think that may have been just a product of the time period that it came out in? Because around this time, you're thinking, we're getting like Matrix sequels and all that shit, where it's like the action...
And weapon twirling and all that.
Ball stuff and... Yeah, I mean, and I know. Even the look of the show was due to it's anime inspired, which I was like, oh god.
And but, I love this. It's gonna get ready to happen. And I love the graphic gruesomeness of the Skeletor and how he looks, skin melting off.
Well animated.
It is takes her power to do this blast. Well, speaking of blasting people back 100 feet, that's
what she goes a couple miles back.
Everybody, but oh, piss boy, when this whole image when Hordak came that. It was over, boy. I remember losing my mind. And just to hear his name being spoke when, you know, Skeldor/Skeletor says the name Hordak, like, oh, damn. I mean, that's, I love the background there, too. That was one of the backgrounds that was pretty cool.
Yeah, just this whole sequence, too, like knowing Hordak has a temple on Eternia. You know, you kind of are let, you know, it's just, it's kind of legit to believe, like, was Hordak, you know, worshipped? You know, at this point, was he, you know, what was this place? Was it, it's a fun unanswered question. It's like watching Alien or Predator or The Thing where it's not fully explained. It's just fun to think about.
Right. It only made you, like you said, hunger for more seasons because, you know, what could they have possibly told? What would we have found out?
I mean, this could have been the original Fright Zone for all we know, like on Eternia before he was banished.
Yeah.
You know, because he's brought up again, too, when he's forcing Skeletor to unleash him again, and then Skeletor destroys the temple. But still, it's just kind of one of those things that it's beautiful looking. And I like this answer question, like, what's underneath the hood? And it's just a floating skull.
There you go.
I thought that was
brilliant. I was going to ask that if that was something that kind of bothered either of you or the community as a whole, that it's just a floating head right there.
I never saw anything like that, and I often wondered about it if he had a neck underneath there in Filmation, but I like this idea. It's just a floating skull. That's it, and I think it's simple, and it's right there. It's like he's just gone mad. You know, like
and
laughing
I like
that my skin
up
is
too.
Gone. I have no face. I have no neck.
It's kind of like when Nicholson Joker looked in the mirror.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was no problem with that. And also, like, you know how we always see his face here? You never knew, just like Tyler said, you never knew what was beyond that hood. Even, like, you know, in one of the first episodes when he showed himself to King Randor, he says, like, I'm no longer Keldor, I'm Skeletor, and you've seen his face, but still, you didn't see all the floatingness. So that was a different thing to see. And no, I had no issue with the floating skull as well, but I'm just glad they did something, you know? You got to see it for one time at least. Yeah, because I think back in the days in some of the mini comics, like when they showed him with his hood slightly back, I don't know if it was one of the early, I don't know if it was the Point Dread with the record, but I thought we seen kind of more of his skull, but not to that level of like the floating and hollowness, but that could be me just with my memory screwing up, but I'm almost positive back in the day we seen something.
If anything,
like,
it was probably just a color, because for the most part, it was always in shadow. Like his hood was, because I think that was one of those unanswered things, you know.
Did they show
much
more of the head, the top of the head,
I mean,
though?
If you look at the figure, you know, you could really say that he's pretty much got a neck, a blue neck that connects up to a fully exposed skull.
There you go.
But, yeah. Which, that's just done from action figure. But, hell, if you look at, I haven't examples immediately, but.
I'm sure Joe does. Joe, look on the floor.
It's right there. The sad thing is that damn figure. I've never understood. I know that the head for the 2000X, Skeletor figure, it looks like a normal size, but when you pull off the hood, it's a small peanut head, which made me think, why did they even give that option? Why would they want people to take the hood off to expose a little peanut head? It made no sense to me. And this, just by the way, this is the Skeletor I wish we could have gotten action figure for him. I would have loved to seen this version. He's so wicked and badass. It's not that I hate the 2000X figure we got, but obviously that looks nothing like the cartoon, you know, and it's a shame.
I know, I love that 2000X Skeletor, though. That very first Skeletor was a beautiful figure, though.
It's No, it is. Don't get me wrong, but I love this.
Stick your guns, Joe. But I love this. You don't like it. Don't try and backtrack now.
No, I said there's nothing wrong with it. I said, but I still would have loved to have this. This is the one I really wish we could have had as the MYP one. So it's a shame we never got him. Maybe one day they'll do that. I don't know, in some action figure form. I doubt it, but.
Why don't you just do it?
Well, you know what's weird? I did one about 8 years ago when I first started doing customs. It was pretty kind of poor, though. So I won't talk about my custom right now.
Go ahead and show it off, Joe. I know it's sitting to the left of you. Just go ahead and pick it up and show it on camera.
That'll be later in our question and answer part. But well, there you go. You get to see basically Skeletor was the one that destroyed that beast. Wasn't He-Man, as He-Man deflected back Skeletor's, you know, blast. So bam, took care of that right there. And they're all trying to get the hell out of there at the same time. And
I do like the idea too that Skeletor like would have generally followed through with killing Evil Lyn at that point. Like obviously, you know, I mean, she survives because of He-Man, and they make up after the fact. But he really would have followed through with killing her, or making her a slave I forgot what the name of the what's in the well
fucking
of,
pool or
pool of shadows pool or... the anyway, it's just kind of one of those throwaway lines for another dimension kind of thing, but still.
And you know what? And this is another moment I liked when she's thinking about, hey, maybe she could be good. And all along, you know, it's got to be Evil Lyn. Good Lyn would just be a horrible name, but I like her little way about saying, yeah, maybe I could change my ways. And what she does here, that's her character. That's who she is. Evil Lyn doesn't have to be a good person. I'm talking about protecting the innocent. Like, yeah, I like how she does this. Here, get ready, Tyler. What is it, a 2 mile blast? Like you said,
bam! I don't know. He looks like he probably went about 5 on that one.
He is gone. So,
I
mean, yeah, she's.
Am I wrong in that it just seems it's used too much? Like, someone being knocked that far should be saved for special moments of impact in a story, in a battle sequence. Like, it shouldn't. It's just used so. We ever do one for Rattle the Snake where they go down in the Snake Temple? That's got Fisto and Man at Arms and the Snake Men of Eaten Ambrosia. I mean, people are being knocked all over the damn place, and it's like, good God, man! Like, just enough. You know, it's one thing to be strong enough to go toe to toe with He-Man, but you know, it's just too much to have people being, you know, knocked this way and that way and.
They used it a lot. I agree. Like Nathan said, maybe it was the product of its time where a lot of that stuff was going on. But yeah, it was used quite a bit.
I mean, people were fed up with the weapon spinning after the first episode.
Oh, everybody agree. I think everybody can agree with that. Like these being blasting far, you know, I can deal with that. That's fine. But the weapon twirling and that stuff and the battles ahead of everybody, you know, being an expert in spinning and flipping 80 times in the air, it's like, I did not enjoy that. And I don't think most people did.
I was like Michael Douglas in the Korean store and falling down. Stop it!
Oh, well, here we go. And E-Man's bringing back the good old Wind Raider that he did a quick little, I guess, repair work to that wing. I don't even know what he did. I have to look at the back of the wing again. Oh, it's
intact. It's just, you know.
So no explanation how he put it together. Just he put it back on, whatever. It's
yeah, you're not supposed to think about that.
Yeah, don't think about it. Don't think how he did it. But I'm like, here, again, you know, Evil Lyn saying, basically, you know, it's what she was taught about treachery. So, you know, you got to respect that, Skeletor. So I like it. She's letting it be known that, yeah, that's what she had to do. She's not holding back and hiding why she did it. She's letting it right out there. With that evil look that she'll have at the end, with that little cross look at him. Because it was a really good episode. And yeah, for people that maybe didn't watch as much MYP, I'd say go back, watch it.
I'd say the best episode of season 2. Because season 2, when the Snake Men come in, should have been way better than season 1, and it wasn't. And and here's the aftermath of the bullshit of part 2 of Rise of the Snake Men, where they all just jump down in the abyss and they're just here. Which I thought was just really shitty writing. And Larry DeTiller just comes up with, I mean, it's he didn't write that, but he's writing the to let you know, here's the statement, this is where they're at, and this is what I was instructed to write, so. And then we get a whole slew of, like, bad episodes, like Second Skin, where they turn all the everyone into snakes. I'm like, this is just stupid. And Man at Arms turns into a snake mansion. Like, this is just dumb.
So dumb enough to where they made a damn figure.
Stupid.
Still couldn't even believe making the figure off of that either with that snake man in arms.
I'm like, God. Oh, that remains one of my biggest pet peeves about the Classics line is when that we were forced to buy that and people were like, why? I really wanted to question everybody that was excited about that. Like, why?
Because I didn't see all the feedback. Were people genuinely excited for a snake man?
There were quite a few, and that's why I was like, on Roast Google, like, Danielle, like, was, like, questioning. I'm like, oh, thank God. Like, there's somebody out here that's like, why the hell are they making this shitty variant for a shitty idea and from a shitty episode? And it's just like, they're doing it to be cheap and cut costs. Like, we know why you're doing it, but don't try and tell us, like, this is this amazing concept of Man-at-Arms as a snake man. And then Clan Champ's going to kill him in your shitty mini comic. You know, it's just stupid, stupid, stupid. It was just a waste of everybody's time. And no one really believed it was like, Man-at-Arms is dead, or he's gone over, and he's never coming back. Like, who the hell ever believes such a silly thing? So, I don't know what I did
with my figure. It's not even on my shelf. I can remember figures.
I taken the head off, and I gave one of the Royal Guards heads. Like, I put, like, the black head. One of the Royal Guards, I put that on that and kind of made my own another kind of Man-at-Arms type character. So,
okay. Well, at least you did something with that because mine was just buried with Spectre somewhere.
I don't know where the hell where he's at or whatever. And I put Decker like buried up somewhere so I don't have to see that lane character. And then the unnamed one, I let that asshole in the box.
Yeah, that's. And then remember how the hype was to, you know, how great that was going to be, the unnamed one?
I want to get Nathan's take on that shitty character.
I would have to dig more into it, honestly.
Yeah, see, all the more reason why, now that we've done this, because Nathan, now that it's been established, Nathan doesn't know much. The unnamed one and the, I want Nathan to discover this the same way the rest of us did. Is that in the Powers of Grayskull minicomic, the one that had the dinosaurs in it, it is established that King Hiss and the Snake Man work for someone called the Unnamed One, and that is it. And it was kind of, I think, led to believe in the mini comics it would eventually become Keldor, which kind of led you to believe that Keldor time traveled and was kind of leading the Snake Men at this one point. And it's even kind of touched on in the MB Creations comics as well. Like in the Faceless One mini comic, he gives his daughter Evelyn, which timeline wise doesn't make too much sense.
Anytime you start to meddle in time travel, it starts to fuck with everything. Period.
It does, but it was just kind of left ambiguous as to who this character was, and it was clearly hinted at it was going to be Keldor, and we get this unnamed one that Scott Knowledge says you're going to get the unnamed one, this character that you've all wondered about, and he makes it another Trolling. An orc.
Yeah, give them the pretense. You're right. They made it seem like this was going to be the best figure. You're just going to have to buy it. It's the most amazing thing. And then when they show the reveal, I'm like, what? Oh, that's a bad God, what another horrible figure.
I'm looking it up now. Yeah. That
would not have been what he looked like back in the day. He would not.
No. I feel like this is the equivalent of McMahon revealing himself to be the higher power.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of the vibe I get from
it. It was Scott Nolan taking off the Orko hat and, it's me, people, it was me, the Mighty Spectre.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Bad figure. Well, I was going to say, I'll pass it to the chat room. If you have any questions, comments you'd like to give to any of us, please do now.
Make them good, and Tyler's going to ream you a new one.
It's going to be Tyler. It's going to start, what's your favorite minicomic or what's your favorite cartoon? Tyler's guys, got to go. It was fun. See you next time.
Make them good. And while you guys are coming up with stuff, I'll read some of the comments that we had on last week's video. starting with Blue-Haired Lawyer, do you guys think it's possible for DC to do a simple MOTU comic without the gimmicks? They've had a crossover with Thundercats, a crossover with Injustice, and now this whole multiverse mess. Does DC think MOTU is just not current and strong enough on its own to support a comic book? As a fan of the property, we often forget how it is perceived by non-fans, even if it's remembered at all.
That's the unfortunate part, and I'm gonna be serious here. Like they, it clearly shows they don't have much faith because they feel like it doesn't sell unless they cross it over with something, or they think, hey, we're gonna put some sort of respectable DC writer on this book because he had a couple of figures as a kid. You know, it's the same story we've talked about on this podcast many, many times, but it shows they just don't have much faith in telling classic one-off stories the way it should be done, or even small story arcs. Or even, you know, a four-part, five-part miniseries or something like that. It could be done so many times over and over again. But, no, DC doesn't seem to really care about it. And they clearly show that by the people they put on the books over and over again.
No, it's absolutely agreed. You know, I mean, the multiverse comics started off with very good highs. I mean, not very good. About 29,000 sales for the issue one, but then it just completely has just fallen apart since then and is dropping drastically from 17 to 15. And it's, you know, as long as you could deliver something, I mean, Masters of the Universe fans, again, yes, we want good stories. It's not like, you know, we're just sitting here saying it's bad just to say it's bad. It's like we're giving you our honest opinions. Some say, hey, they love it, and if they do, great. But otherwise, do you want everybody to say, that's a fantastic comic, I love it? No, I'm going to give you my honest opinion. And from what I've seen and what I've read and what, you know, Nathan has looked at too, they're just not delivering. And Masters deserves better. They deserve to have some great stories to attract the fans every month. Because if you could keep us, we'll stay along for the ride. But if you start just, it declines and it gets no better, that's the result. So you're right. There's no faith, but they should try to have faith in the fans as long as they deliver a great product. And, well, I'll pass it back to you, Nathan. I know you had some more comments.
Just some comments from Drawing by Hand that kind of went into the opinions of the voice acting, that Evil Lynn sounds a bit like Amanda Holden. Mark Hamill Skeletor's voice isn't too bad. Kind of wonders if there will be any kind of crossovers with other properties. That would kind of depend on who has what license. Joe needs to show off more of his customs on here, and thanked me for the shout out.
I will, but I'm sorry. I have to interrupt. Penny Driftful is in the chat room.
Oh, no.
She's said, you didn't like the Zodak mini comic? Turns into Soup Nazi. No more translations for you. And then she said, yeah, it was pretty boring. I agree. So thank you, Penny. Because, we're not discrediting.
I was going to say, she cannot be telling the truth if she was going to sit and defend this story. It's like, look, I think we know you a little bit better than that, Dan. You write better bios than what we got in this book here. And that's, I'm saying, you clearly know what good writing is. So if she was going to try and defend it, we know she's lying.
And I'm sure
I'm almost wondering.
I'm sure that she'll put some sort of hex on me or something. But she did kind of mention to me that she wasn't as stoked about the origin line and some of the stuff that's going on as well. It felt flat for her as well.
It doesn't say you're not a He-Man fan for not getting excited about getting the same figures again. I mean, it's, you know, if you're a Ghostbusters fan and you got all the original figures, like, are you super pumped to repurchase them in the Kenner style again? Like, I'm going to get them, but I get it. I get it if you're bummed about that, or, you know, the fact that no one, Hasbro and Mattel, aren't putting out original new designs of these classics. If they're going to continue with He-Man, G.I. Joe, and Transformers, that they're not doing anything to really incentivize going out and buying this stuff, you know? So, yeah, it's very lackluster, and it doesn't, you know, if anybody listening to this podcast feels like, and you're not excited about it, and you, like, feel embarrassed, like, it doesn't make you feel like, bullshit, man. Like, I stopped buying DC stuff years ago because I was not going to support shit writing on my favorite character, my favorite franchise, my favorite mythology. Like, no, I'm not going to give money for anything, you know, substandard or worse. So,
we always welcome that.
For Star Wars, Thundercats, G.I. Joe, Turtles.
Just speak your opinion. Like you said, I mean, it's not, you know, don't do it in a negative way, but if it's something you don't like, it's you're a fan, you're passionate, you there's things you love to say.
But just be specific about it.
That's
what I
mean. You can,
not malicious.
Yeah, you can be negative, but it can reach a point where it is just like, I hope that the people that came up with this idea get hit by a car. So it's like, no, it's not,
yeah,
it's nothing like
is,
that. But
yeah,
you can say like, I think that kind of sucks. This isn't good.
Yeah, you think they're writing shit? They should be put on something else. Yeah, because I firmly agree with everybody that's been put on a He-Man book in the last 10 years. They need to, you know, be put on something that they would rather be working on, because they clearly don't have the talent to write He-Man.
Yeah,
I guess it's just too damn complicated for everybody.
Yeah, and I'm gonna like to see, hopefully, Danielle, if you're still here, because she hasn't popped
Danielle,
up.
Yeah, Danielle, I would like a job. Can you give me a job writing He-Man, Danielle? Because,
but
you know,
I'm curious.
Time has come. We need change.
You
know
what?
You know?
I don't think that this cup that I have has enough space in it to hold my vomit that's about to expel out of
my
mouth.
Do it though.
Well, Nathan, I've got 3 Burger King kids
here.
If you will, I'd be more than happy to bring them over, as long as you clean them out.
If you bring them over, then I just got to keep them in my collection then.
Yeah,
I would throw up.
She hasn't been in the chat in so long, so I'm hoping if she's still here, she'll answer one thing. What brought you here to the chat? Did somebody contact you say they're talking bad about your comic?
No, I told her we were going to cover it this week, so I guess that's all on me, right?
Oh, did you?
Okay. I'm just bringing it all on myself.
Well, Nathan, I want to bring up at least get to some of the questions in the chat room. Then if you had more comments, you can. But I'm just going to say, Adam, I'm not going to ask Tyler that question. You might have missed what I said earlier about favorite toys and stuff. He
oh
could probably
God.
Snap.
Like, he's listened to this podcast how many times, and he's still asking me what my favorite toy is.
Curtis Ackerman said, he said he read somewhere that a starting backup Maddie collector, any truth? I've heard nothing about that. Would you?
I think if there was something about that, then we all would have seen it at some point, like this week. It would have been thrown out.
Yeah, like Torfa, they would have said, hey, if you sign, like Maddie collector will be offering like exclusive, you know, web store Cobra Con 2-pack. With new box art or something like that. No, I think as far as that's, you know, I'm sure they probably still.
Nothing.
No,
yeah,
we know nothing.
All right, and Sportimus, I think I know mine too. I'm not sure about Tyler, but Sportimus says, what are some of your favorite 2000X character redesigns or updates? As for me, if he's referring to the MYP cartoon, I did love what they did with Count Marzo. I love Webstore. I was not a fan of Evil Seed, but I really did love what they did with Count Marzo and Webstore. Those are, I guess, my 2 favorite redesigns.
Too bad, Evil Seed, Marzo, Squeeze. I liked King Hiss. I liked his look a lot. Trap Jaws was really impressive. I liked Whiplashes. I mean, there was a lot. I liked Tila's overall look. He was just written to be the ultimate bitch.
I didn't like Orko, to be honest. I did not like Orko's design.
Orko was given too much flair. Too busy. I think. It was too busy. It wasn't simplistic as it should have been. But you know, I think Cyclones was phenomenal looking too. So. I mean, there was a whole slew. Like, you couldn't nail that down to a top 3 because there was a lot of great designs.
Oh, there were.
Yeah,
I guess
really
I was just picking out some of those, you know, Filmation things or something else that stood out in my head. But that was a good question. Febbon also said, do you think you guys are fit enough to survive on Eternia with the shape your bodies are in now? Could you survive? I could survive. I think I'm in good shape. I think we already know what Tyler's going to say, so... maybe we'll just pass it right to Nathan. Nathan, could you survive? And I know I didn't mean that in a negative way. I did not mean that in a negative way. So
I kind of see it like I'd be hanging out in the palace, getting drunk all the time, hanging out with Ram Man, and then he would be like, hey, we need to get you into shape, and then Tyler would waltz in and be like, yeah, I think that's a good idea. And I'd be like, all right, and then there'd be like a montage, and then they would kind of welcome me in.
Something.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Theme mottos. Sportimus says, do you think a different comic book company would do a better job than DC? And if so, which would you want to do it? Well, me, I've said it earlier, I would love to come back from out of nowhere. I would love for MVC to come back. I don't know if that's something that ever could happen, but that's the only company, because it was a comic written by fans from the fans. They got it. They understood Masters. And that's who I'd love to see, but I can't picture any other companies. We're about you, Tyler. I don't know.
It would have to be one of the, you know, like IDW or something like that. And I haven't read, you know, current books in so long because I've either hated the writing, the art, or both, or they're just not doing a very good job with the characters and the source materials. So, but DC clearly has got no business with it. And I haven't liked anything Marvel's done in God knows how long either. So I would much prefer to see He-Man, if not in the hands of something like an Envy Creations, something like IDW, but it doesn't guarantee that they would still put someone on there who's just writing really bad fan fiction. But it's not doing any good being in the hands of any of the two major companies. It needs to be in an independent. Because I think CrossGen at one point had the right, because Image was working, because Envy Creation was putting out the book, and I know that they had ties to Image, CrossGen, and I can't remember if there was another one in there too, but it just needs to be an independent, because you've got too many people who know nothing about this property and don't care about it to let someone come in who knows his mythology inside and out and put an artist on that's going to draw these characters the way they deserve to be drawn and not some ugly as sin artwork where the characters look like, you know, they're all goofy looking and lanky, and He-Man's got this jaw that comes all the way out to here, and Skeletor's got an overgrown forehead, and just the silly renditions of the characters that it's like, what the hell are you doing here, man? You doing caricatures or trying to tell it needs to be an independent. It needs to be me, damn it. It needs to be me and Kevin Sharp working on this book.
With catering by Joe Amato.
There you go.
And Nathan could be our tech officer. You know, Nathan could be the guy who's like promoting the stuff through on social media and various places on the internet and things like that. So we'd have it all worked out quite good. And we use Bauhaus publicity.
He's the tech. Zantron said no movie quote. He says, but in which She-Ra episode?
Oh, thank you.
In which She-Ra episode did the character Dina appear? How many times did she get captured? And who was she friends with? I don't remember. I'm going to be honest. I don't know. I can't remember Dina.
I have no idea. I don't even know who that character is.
I'll have to check it out later, Zantron, but thank you for that one. Kevin Sharp said, if you want good Masters of the Universe type stories, check out Dragon Guard on Indiegogo.
Oh, yeah. Well, so, yeah. All right, link Kevin, down below. You guys want to support that project? Yes. Link is down there as well. I got you covered, Kev.
Okay. Where the hell did I? Okay. Fedman. Oh, that wasn't a question. Clearly, I'm trying to get to the questions.
Come on, Kenny, people, some questions.
All right. Well, here's one from Papa Head. Papa Heads. Papa Hoods.
Papa Heads. Go ahead, Papa.
Papa Head says the NYP Stinkor origin episode. Yay or nay?
Yay. That was fine. It was good.
I was just so super stoked to see.
Yeah, Stinkor. I was too. I like the impact the character had. Like, he is chemical warfare. Like, he's walking around, and this massive clouds of his stench is running off, you know, cattle and
even how you seen it as like a different, like when you seen Odifus and you're wondering what the hell is that, and the little hints of, wait a second, I think this might become Stinkor. I thought it was interesting, got a little origin, but yeah, just having Stinkor in that was a fantastic thing to see. So, because yeah, if we would have had him in Filmation, they would have joked him up just like Tyler and everybody has said, so that wouldn't have been fun.
I like that. That's why I worry so much about Jason Mewes coming along and it just sound like a shit character that Kevin Smith's gonna like, it's great, Jason, you do great work and it's gonna be great, just be yourself and just say, you know, Snoogans when you say Stinkor.
I really don't think it's going to. I think that they'll have his voice there. I feel like they're going to mask it a little bit to make him not sound like Mewes. I hope, anyway. That's,
well, it just makes me think that because they let Mark Hamill just do Mark Hamill and not really do anything creative, that Kevin Smith likes to tell all his friends they all do great work. Well, like, they do no harm. They can do no wrong.
You can hear it in the thing when they're doing the voices and he's just like, that was fucking great. And I'm like,
worries me, because he's not afraid. He thinks everybody does great. If you're friends with him, if Nathan was friends with him, Nathan could take a shit on a painting canvas, take a stick and smear it all over there. And like, it's wonderful. I'm going to put it in the museum. I'm going to take it to the stash and we'll sell it over there for like $100,000. It's great. How'd you come up with something like that, Nathan? Like, it's clearly an exaggeration, but it's like he just. You know, that's what I'm saying. He's just not the right guy to be the showrunner on the show. I just, it worries me. And that voice of Skeletor, I'm like, oh my god.
Sean had a question. Do you want Revelation animation style to look like Filmation, or would you kind of want it to kind of veer off from that and be?
And you know, all people. That's what I'm saying. Like there's not an equal balance of people who really love and appreciate Filmation. There's just seems like the casual ones will probably be shitting all over because they just, this ain't fancy. You know, so, and I really don't think they're going to follow, because Filmation had its own, you know, individual stories. Like, for them to say they're going to follow Filmation, like, doesn't make any sense, because there was no definitive, like, continuous story arc in the series. They were all their own stories. I think it's just kind of saying something that sounds like you're appeasing to the old school fans to say, we're going back to the old stuff. Like, well.
Because you know it's not going to look like it at all. The tone will be quite different, I'm sure.
It's not going to have the same feel of it. I you know.
I'm hoping for something good. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I want something good, but I guess we'll just see how it goes. But it definitely won't look like or feel like Filmation. But hopefully it stands up or stands alone enough to be great, be watched, and get more seasons. And just we need something great. That's all I could say about that. Yeah. But well, Penny, just as you said, she did say she's not feeling the Origins line. Vintage was the iconic line. Classics was the ultimate adult line. 2000X was ultimate reimagining. Origins just isn't for her. But on the same line right in here, Spider-Rat says I'm the opposite. Origins feels like the perfect adult line. Vintage with modern articulation. Classics just Classics just never felt like He-Man to them. And you know what? Again, we say that's just everybody has their own taste, you know, so it's good. I like having and seeing different opinions, and it's also, like I said, without we're not trying to piss on any of you guys. Just
Well, I know Tyler will like this. Fortimus says, to Tyler, you're a valued member of the show. Hope to see you on here more often. Your opinions are appreciated.
Well, I appreciate you taking time to share that. I take pride in my viewpoints. They may not be agreed on, nor do I expect people to agree with it, but I love being able to embrace and share my thoughts on this property that I live and die by. And so I take it personal when people don't treat it with dignity and respect that it deserves, or it's just not given enough attention, or the wrong people are in charge. You know, it's just, I want to be excited for new He-Man stuff. I don't want to be dreading and thinking the worst, you know? So, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. And, you know, I'll do my best to make sure my presence is more frequent.
There we go. Joe. Let's go ahead and get maybe like one more question or one more comment, and we'll go ahead and wrap up.
Well, I was going to say, I haven't seen many questions. There was a lot of good comments back and forth they were doing, so I think I hit it all. But I was going to grab real quick.
He's going to grab.
Just to
show off your shit, man. Pimp your stuff out on the show.
I got it over my head. Let me get that off there. Yeah, this is Easy He. And it's just like I said, try to bulk him up a little bit as much as I could without making it look too insanely bulked. But just doing the damn hat where I have Compton on it, that was the hardest little detail. But that's for just to let you know, in the chat room, that was for one of the people who was there. I said I'd be showing it for him live, but yeah, it's as easy. He did a much sculpting to try to make him look like that without copying what somebody did, where they did a vintage style. It was He-Man called, I think, Easy He, but it was quite different. So mine is not trying to rip off anybody, just in case you guys think I'm copying. This is just Easy E turned into
and that
figure.
Was that
That's
was
it.
For Zen Brown, right? So once he
no
was
it?
No am I wrong?
No that was not for Zen Brown.
I thought it was
he's not DJ Tags, he's not here anymore, but it was for DJ Tags.
Right on. Now you got to make the rest of the NWA.
There, make them all, but I think.
Let me
say,
ask you something real quick. I'm just curious because I don't know. I just figured because I'm connected to the podcast here. Did you guys by chance get a whole lot of like friend requests here in like the last couple weeks?
Not really.
What I got a strange. Well, that's a weird thing. I usually get, you know, friend requests a lot, but I somehow got auto put over 5,000. I had 5,002 friends. I was like, you can't get over 5,000 friends on Facebook. So I don't know how that happened. So all the people that were there were, you know, requesting. I was scrolling through like, oh, who likes He-Man? Who likes this? And when I clicked to accept, it said, you have reached your limit. Well, what the hell? How did you put 5,002?
Well, now we just have to basically make a group page. It's just called the Cult of Amato. That way, instead of sending your friend request, we just get everybody there. Go ahead, drink the Kool-Aid, eat your potted meat. Hang out by the dumpster, and you know, can be a member of the Cult of Amato.
And wait for him to dump gold in your mouth.
Well, the reason, I mean, like I said, it's that much. It's like it's always usually through masters, and then people want commissions and talking or whatever. But there's a lot of people that obviously you're not going to personally know 5,000 people.
Well, no. That's what I'm getting to is that I got – And that's why I just wanted to say, look, if people have sent me a friend request that, and I'm not like I don't know you from work or we're friends at some like locally, just let me know you know me from the podcast or something, because I got a whole lot, and you know, except some, and you're like, because some people will just add you just for the sake of adding, or they see that you like this. I don't know we know anything more than you like Silverhawks, like. Or just something like.
I'd be selective. I understand that you don't want to just accept friends because just to accept
start
them.
Adding you, and then all this like weird stuff starts showing up in your face in your Facebook feed, and like, oh, just let me know that you know me from the podcast. Yeah. Like, I'm not asking for like feed. Just let me know that's how you know me, and I'll accept.
I think that
request.
Would kind of be a good idea going forward for any of the three of us. If you happen to find us on there, just pop us a message. Let us know, like, oh, hey, the podcast, and maybe like if you're in the chat room, let us know who you are in the chat or something. That way, we put it together and be like, oh, okay, yeah, you're that person.
It's just because I've added some people. Just okay, I'm thinking they know me from the podcast, and like they don't. And they're just adding me because for the sake of adding me to either build their friends list, or they say, oh, he likes that, I'll add him. Like I don't do that. If you like He-Man, that's great. But at least if you want to add me, let me know that's because or something like, or there's a reason behind it. Because I just, when people start putting stuff, I'm like, oh my God.
That's Facebook. One more question, and then we will wrap it up. This comes from Grim 2. How would you guys react if Sorceress dies?
I'd be pissed. Especially if they do it in a way that wouldn't be any respect to the character. Not saying, hey, it's respectful to kill somebody, but if they did it a way to where it was advancing the story later for Teela to become the Sorceress, yes, I understand. But if they just kill her off in some nonsensical, stupid way, and Teela still isn't, you know, becoming and taking the moniker of the Sorceress, I think that would just annoy me.
It'd be bullshit.
I said one last question, but Penny Dreadful did say, will you guys ever have Brutus Beefcake as a guest? I know he's Nathan's favorite. If I reached out to him and he wanted to do a podcast and we talked about his wrestling, that would be fantastic. But I would have to be on my best behavior.
He probably costs a
shit.
He would probably
ask for that too. So I'm gonna need about $5,000 up front. And I'm like, wait, you're Hogan's lackey, didn't you get like some kickback, like you and Brian Knobs from the Nasty Boys? Like get a little like Hogan's got you guys covered.
Yeah, we're asking what it was like being on the pilot for Thunder in Paradise. You know, just
it would be the shortest thing ever. I would probably just be like, oh, hey, let's welcome Ed Leslie, who was Brutus Beefcake and the Booty Man and Zodiac and all these Disciple. What a great gimmick that was. And I would just be like, it's happy to have you on. My first question is, why do you suck so much?
Poor Beefcake.
I mean, he knows how he got far in his career. You just you buddy up with someone. It's like if Tyler does get like someone kicks back, it's like, you know what, here's your shot, you got Tyler, you write for this. And of course Joe and I are gonna write his coattails. We have to. That's how it works.
Got to.
Yeah. And I mean it's understandable, but I'd like to think too that, you know, if they're writing my coattails, that they could spread out and do their own thing, and they're not just, you know, here because, you know, like Kevin Smith does with his friends, where they're here because he knows them. Like, no, they got talent. They have, they can contribute. They can do something.
Hot take. All right, Joe, let's wrap it up.
I'm just saying, like, you know, I want to be proven wrong.
Yeah.
So,
I think
I'm telling you people, I am not opposed. I'm not overly prideful. I'm not ashamed to admit if I am wrong about anything with this show when it comes out. And it's great and wonderful. And Mark Hamill's take on Skeletor is better than it sounds. and every the animation is great, the stories are great, then yes, I have no problem at all saying I will eat my own words. I put my foot in my mouth. In fact, I put both feet in my mouth. I ain't afraid to do it.
If Tyler is wrong about this, but, he will eat his own ass.
Wow, that's interesting. Good God. Well,
here on this podcast, by God, and we'll do it for charity.
All right. Well, I was
going to. Instead of Jerry's kids, we'll have Amato's kids and just donate food. And, you know, and the more food gets donated, the more things to eat, the more I can eat my own ass.
There you go. That hand to this hand. I love
it. Nathan's going to be sitting there holding the microphone and everything. And all this food's going to go, and he can't eat it because he won't take his mask off.
That is more of you than I ever want to see. But now I'm kind of picturing it there where I'm like in a suit. And you just got your legs like doubled over your head, and I'm sitting there with a microphone. All right, we're going too far. Joe, let's go ahead and wrap it up.
Thanks for that description, Nathan. I'll wrap it up again. Everybody in the chat room joined us. Thank you. I hope you enjoyed it. And Strobe Life Video, who joined in the chat room, he's the one that made this mask. Boy. I want to thank you again for that, Sean. It was a fantastic mask. But anybody new to this channel, make sure you like, subscribe, share, and ring that bell so you can always be notified when we go live. And until next time, have a powerful day.
I need your clothes, your boots, and your motorcycle.
And that's Terminator 2, right?
Judgment Day. That's from Rocketeer.
No, I didn't want to screw up and actually, you know, say, hey, I'm seeing Terminator. And Tyler would have said, which one? So at least I remember that. So I guess it was like, he gave
that
me an easy
one. That was a softball. I'm going to go ahead and apologize in advance for what I said earlier. It made me laugh, but I know it's kind of like that's a very gross visual that none of us ever need.
But it came from a sick mind like you.
Yeah. Let's think about what all is in Joe's warped mind that he never says on the show.
I say nothing.
Well, just take it. This is the only podcast where you're going to get ass eating and match the universe in the same.
I feel like I need to do so many edits after this.
Nope, no edits. We don't edit. That's the thing.
That's what makes it so special. We're not fixing problems. If we make mistakes, we have to own it live, you know. And you know, just like, you know, we just have to, you know.
I'll just go in and when I say that, I'll just be like, Tyler will eat his own hat, and just edit hat and.
Yeah, or eat his own baloney, or just insert some really like absurd word. If Daniel's in there too, like I want her to come on this podcast again. It's been too damn long since we talked to her.
I'll reach out. We'll get her back on. Maybe we can do the Zodak.
Let's hope we do the Zodak
mini comic again.
Sure, won't do that. Hopefully, the next installment that newspaper comic
another,
book strip,
like, you know, a Brazilian comic and Zuba Rex is in it or something like that.
That'd be awesome. But no, if the next episode, not episode, the next part of that newspaper comic strip, hopefully that's a good one because...
No. Well, it's not good. I ain't doing it because I'm not going to follow chronologically because you shot me in the foot when you did that last time.
Did you? Oh, wait, real quick. Did you read past that one and is it bad story? Oh, okay. Hopefully that's a
after
good...
After reading that really bad story, I was just like, okay, I'm done. I'm out right now, so... No, I'm not going to let you continue on with that. You get with her... And you find out what is one of the better stories to read. Then I will read that one. I'm not doing it anymore chronologically.
I'll ask her definitely, say, Danielle, is this one good? Then we could go. But if she says it's bad, I'd be like, okay, Danielle, you and I can do it alone with Nathan, but Tyler ain't going to be on for that episode.
I'm here for all the bad stuff. I keep trying to convince him, or at least Joe anyway. I'm like, well, what's the bad stuff? Let's do that. I know Tyler's not going to do it. I'll do it. I'll take that bullet. I'm fine with that.
Is it as enjoyable though? Does Nathan know it's bad though? Like, if you guys were to decide to do a commentary for the island, like, is Nathan gonna know it's as bad?
I know based off of what you guys said, it's like one of the worst things in the entire run. But that's all I know from it, so I can just go into it. Hey, you know what? It's not so bad. And then I get relegated to just.
It'd be interesting if you like the island. If you like the island, that would be interesting, but I guess we'll have to find out someday.
I seriously doubt, though, because Nathan does realize that not every episode of MYP was good. He's already told me that. He's reiterated that, because I will say Joe suggested doing Night of the Shadow Beast, which was a shitty episode.
I'm like, Did you notice? Okay, well, I was going to say, I was hoping you were catching my pattern. I wanted to do it because, well, we did this comic. So I told Nathan, I was like, hey, one they barely talk about is, yeah, well, this mini comic we did was so bad, I was like, I'm going to see if I can get them to do Night of the Shadow Beast. I'm sorry. This was trying.
I was like, thinking, like, does Joe genuinely think this is a good episode? Cause it
takes well, I was telling Nathan, like, hey, nobody barely talks. Well, I told him, hey, nobody ever really talks about that one, and we could do it.
There's no reason for it. Yeah.
Yeah. It didn't work. Well, I tried.
No, it would have worked. See, what you needed to do, Joe, was do it in a time frame where, like, we knew Tyler wasn't going to be on the show. You could have tricked me that way, and I could have watched it. But you're like, well, Tyler's going to be on. See if he wants to do that. Or actually, you said you were going to ask him about it, and then you never did. And then I had to message him and just be like, hey, here's what the plan is. And Tyler's like, no. Let's do this or do this.
I mean, when I saw that message initially, I like my head, like Mr. Big had a rocker. Like when he gets deflated, he just.
I am rotten. I'm terrible. There's a reason that
like,
Tyler.
Oh my God. Like.
He nicknamed me Rotten Amato for a reason. So,
well, and I did tell Nathan, I said, well, that episode sucks, but I'll just follow you all's lead because I wasn't going to come in and try and dictate it. And he's like, no.
That's when I was like, well, what would you suggest? And he threw those two out. And then I'm like, well, Joe, what do you think about this? And then Joe picked that one. And then Tyler's like, okay. And then that's how we came up with the topics.
Well, we had so one back. Good thing. Oh, man.
My mind's got to be in a better place to voluntarily do a commentary for a bad episode. Like, I just, you know, either Nathan's got to make me laugh by doing, you know, juggling or doing put on a circus act for me so I can laugh because it's just not fun
and
sitting through a
like
shitty
said,
man
work,
episode.
We can't even see Nathan, so that, I guess that wouldn't
No,
work.
But he's just, you know, Nathan's really good at just saying funny things to me that where I laugh uncontrollably, like when we play video games together or something like that. And he needs to just amuse me or something like that. That's what he needs to do. Because it's just going to be hard to... I mean, I know we have never on this podcast, like, sat through a... Like, voluntarily picked a bad episode for the sake of picking a bad episode. Outside of doing the Leech mini comic, which that was Joe's idea.
It was, again, see? You guys are catching on. There's a pattern.
What pattern? But, we've done one bad mini comic and no bad episode. Like... There is no pattern here.
That's why I'm here. I'm here to bring the bad. Joe, you want to do the island commentary? We will make that happen. I'm here. We'll do it.
Sometimes.
I made a statement a while back that if that commentary happens, this podcast has hit rock bottom in terms of content. There is nothing else to cover.
The views will be 50.
If the island is covered in a commentary.
That's the
be our highest rated episode.
That's the carrot. That's the carrot I'll dangle in front of.
Tyler. I'm not sure for that episode. That episode gets like 600 views for commentary for the island.
That's what I would do though. I would be like, Tyler, if you don't come on this week, we're just gonna do the island commentary, and be like, fine, we can't do that. Here's this other. Let's talk about this instead. I'll use it as a bargaining chip. Isn't it great how this episode was supposed to have ended about, like, 10 minutes ago?
Yeah, well, I think we'll do it now, because the last comment is about my island.
The commentary
for
the island? We'll just
do
it right now.
Yep, these holes. I had my mask slightly set as I did about that.
Yeah, we're having our Amato's kids telephone right now. We're going to go into the night. We're going to do the Star Child. We're going to do the island. We're going to do Beauty and the Beast. The list goes on and on of all these shitty episodes. Danielle's going to join us. James Etalk's going to join in on us. We're going to have guests all night. Your donations are free food to Joe Amato.
You know what?
We'll
actually wouldn't be a terrible idea if we did like a marathon and then Etalk joins us when he first wakes up and he's hungover and he's like rubbing his eyes. He's like, all right, what are we talking about? Okay.
Bloody hell, you doing the Star Child?
That sounded like Australian. That didn't sound like Etalk at all.
Yeah, that's more Aussie. Sorry there, James. James would be more bollocks. No. Yeah, bollocks. That's an English slang word, I think. I'm really butchering poor James.
Man.
Sorry, James.
We better stop before we butcher any more people. We have fun. See you guys next time.
See you guys.